It is our number two of Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey. At 145, where are we at in society? We have more tragedy for the Rolling Stones, and this one is bizarre. At 130, we continue to put a bow on week one in the NFL. And in mere minutes, it is our weekly chat with the great Jeff Ward. I'm Trey Elling, and sitting across from me is Chad Hastings.
Yes, indeed. Week one of the NFL now officially done with the Raiders getting the Ravens last night. Big home win with the first game with all the fans at the new stadium in Vegas. Getting ready for week two. Cowboys at the Chargers in week two. And if you are a Texans fan, things ratchet up very quickly from week one to week two. Houston at Cleveland is the week two matchup. And obviously we're talking a lot of Longhorn football as they come off of the loss to Arkansas, try to figure out what's going on, getting ready for Rice, then it'll be Texas Tech, and then into the teeth of the conference schedule. With that in mind, we go to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina hotline, even though the man is sitting right over there. He is Jeff Ward, jeffwardshow.com. They are live each weekday, and he's bringing you 6 minutes of football podcasts all over the place. How are you, Mr. Ward?
Good.
All right, so week one was week one.
Yep.
Week two was a very different story for Texas.
Yep.
What are your thoughts?
Which part? I'll say this. I think I did two different 6 minutes of footballs on Texas,
which may or may not have been 12 total minutes.
I think it was actually, to be precise, it was 11 minutes, 32 seconds.
Oh, nice job.
And then I did another one that was about 4 minutes and 47 seconds, Trey, and it was on the Cowboys. And now that I'm thinking about it, it's all kind of the same.
Ah, okay.
It all is blending together now. It's all coming to me. And so instead of doing 18 minutes, I should have done six, and that would have covered everything because it all looks the same. It's all just artwork. It all looks nice. The Cowboys, man, they look good. And then they threw for all those yards, and they score a lot of points, and they almost won. It's art. Scoreboard. My take on Texas is this. Because, of course, now the quarterback change is a totally new element, which I think is a total distraction, which is meaningless. But they're going to be – Texas is going to be fine, depending on what your fine definition is. They're now going to get to play like competition in a like league. And, in fact, I think they'll challenge for the Big 12 title. They'll win most of their 50-48 games. They may lose a 50-48 game somewhere along the way. I think they'll challenge Oklahoma in a 60-56 game. Could go either way. And so they're right back where they belong, in a league of like competition with like players and a like style of play. And as long as they stay there, they're probably going to be pretty good.
What did the matchup in Fayetteville, if it did, what did it say to you about the future for Texas and the conference where we know that they're headed?
Yeah, that was one of the podcasts, and that is, how do you reinvent yourself when you're sort of think you're better than you are, or you're contained in your own league playing against like-minded competition? I mean, the reality of Texas, and this is not new, is sort of the reality of the Big 12, which is the reality of high school football. The high school football games look just like the Big 12. There's no shoving. There's no pushing. It all kind of just flies around like a flag football game.
Spread it out, 7-on-7.
It's a flag football league, yeah. And they're a flag football team. And Arkansas was a bad matchup because physically they're completely outclassed. I think that's pretty obvious. It didn't take a football genius to figure out one team could shove the other one around easily, at will. If Texas had a chance to tap out, it would have. It was that much of a beatdown. But in their league, in their style, they're going to be just fine. If they are in the SEC, I think we all got our answer. They're eighth or ninth in an ugly way.
Yeah, that is...
I mean, I don't, you know, I mean, if you really want to break it down, the future, you know, the question is, and I don't really know the answer to this. I don't think changing quarterbacks matters, and I don't think it's that purposeful, to be honest, but I think it's just window dressing to the bigger issue. And the bigger issue is the same of all of football. It's like talking about the Cowboys. That's really neat. You threw for a lot of yards. Yeah. And?
And you were 1-3,
yeah,
and you
I
needed
an
onside kick.
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, okay. And, And so I think, you know, I think people have got their answer. But I think they're going to go back to the Big 12. They're going to score a bunch of points on Rice. It's going to look fine in a few weeks. This will fade. They'll get in a 56-50 game with Oklahoma. And the conversation will be about offense and quarterbacks. And I think it's they'll just get caught up in that space. And until they're in a different league where you're not allowed to play that way anymore, I don't know if you change a heck of a lot.
All right, let's dig in.
Does that make any sense?
Yeah, I mean, they're
in limbo for a while, and I think he probably knows it. I think the players even know that. I mean, they know it's a bad matchup. They know they got shoved around. They had no chance in that game. I don't care if Patrick Mahomes is playing quarterback. They get shoved around.
Yeah, it was extra concerning, Jeff, because we knew what we're getting with the offensive line. It was going to be a lot of struggle. You're going to have to scheme around a group that is average at best.
Yeah.
The really frustrating thing for me on Saturday was watching the defensive line that has received a ton of hype all offseason get pushed around at will at a certain point starting in the second quarter through the rest of the game. And perhaps part of that is the offense giving you nothing in return. Eventually, you're going to tire out and you are going to break despite the fact that you've bent for most of the game up to that point. But for the defensive line to play like that, Texas isn't going to have a chance in a lot of games this year if that continues.
Well, I mean, again, I think we're back to style here. I mean, it's what I said. I mean, my criticism is this art for art's sake doesn't do a heck of a lot to get to the next level of football, winning football, you know, championship stuff. Their defensive line in a 60-56 game may just be fine where you chase the ball. When you go, when you think about it, there's not many teams that play direct. There's not many teams that go north-south. There's not many high school games that play like that. It's not often, and I'm not excusing them, except I'm sort of excusing them, that they're built for the Flag Football League, and they just played an opponent that ran right at them, and they aren't prepared for it, built for it, good enough for it. It's not them, and they got demolished. So I don't know that if you don't look up 3 weeks from now and say, wow, when they're chasing the ball around, when they're just running around in a flag football game and they chase a guy down where speed and finesse matters, I'm not sure they're all that bad. In a game that's direct and north and south, and it really is a physical contest, they're awful.
In terms of...
Goodbye.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, I don't know. There's no other takeaway than that.
Right.
I really do think it's easy to... I agree with you. Look, their offensive line sucks. I mean, Arkansas rushes three. And I don't know 5 weeks from now if anybody remembers their nose guard's plural name, but one guy beat three regularly. The nose guard is supposed to be a fire hydrant. Their nose guard is chasing the quarterback and getting him. That's how outclassed they were up front, Texas. Outclassed. And on the defensive front, I think Trey's right. On one hand, this looked bad because it's a bad matchup for them. They're not built for this at all. But I think if you're playing Oklahoma, you might look up and say, yeah, they can chase that guy around pretty well.
In terms of I lost my thought before. Now I just lost it again. But what was I going to ask? It's the question I asked Trey earlier about – what was it? Oh, I know. So for the rest of this season, do you feel like they will play anybody else that has the combo of offensive and defensive line like that?
No. The closest that I've watched, and even they were a huge disappointment. Huge disappointment. I think this guy lost himself a lot of money. I thought maybe Iowa State was a little bit more direct in the way they, I say direct is a term going north and south, not
right.
Big 12 where it goes whoosh, all around the sides and
yeah.
You're a perimeter team. Texas is a perimeter team.
Yeah.
That's what they are, or fast break basketball team.
With Iowa State, you're saying you thought they were a little more pro style, straightforward.
I think they could gash them a little bit more, and Texas at the point of attack would struggle. But you know they were a huge disappointment. So maybe them, but they're built like a like any other high school game you go to. Go to a Westlake game, and that all looks like the Big 12. Nobody plays like Arkansas did.
We are talking to Jeff Ward, and yeah, Texas played the game Arkansas wanted to play.
Yeah,
and that's
absolutely
that's another key. And it's also probably fair to point out that in the last few years in the SEC, Arkansas has been a joke to a lot of people.
I mean, Texas is not who. Where would you put Texas in the SEC right now? What would be their rank? Seven, eight?
I was about to say, you said eight or nine. That might be a tad bit cruel, but it's not that far. You're not that far away. I mean,
what I'm saying is they played the bottom of the table, the SEC, and had no chance. And I don't mean this was a game where, oh, you fumbled it, or you know, your punter drops the ball. You know, they did some stupid stuff. It wasn't that. They could have played flawlessly, and they would have gotten their face kicked in because they had no answer. Football is not that complicated. It's really not. People make it complicated, but when the dude across from you can throw you around, you lose.
Yeah, it's real complicated if you can't block and tackle.
If you can't block and tackle, it sucks. You got to do a lot of chalkboard stuff.
Very difficult, yeah.
But when the, you know, it's football is a one-on-one matchup game across the board. And you lose all those matchups, you're toast. It doesn't matter who your quarterback is. It doesn't matter. They've got, look, don't tell me Bijan Robinson is not a really good back. He is. Is maybe the best in the game. They've got receivers that can run all over the place. I think Hudson Card. I think the fact that he's losing his job and probably going to lose it for good is a bummer. He didn't. I don't think he deserved that. So their skill is as good as you can find.
I was going to say, let's dig into this quarterback thing because you've seen a few quarterback controversies in your time.
Yep.
This town kind of gets known for it in, you know, from time to time. So discuss this one with me. At any point during the game, were you watching and thinking, man, maybe give KC a try? Or were you sitting there thinking, oh, this is a much bigger issue than who's getting the ball?
Well, first of all, if you're Hudson Card and his family, you just sort of wave the towel and say, get me out of here because the guy was running for his life. I don't in the game and in the game decision, I don't fault Steve Sarkisian for making the move. I don't, because nothing else worked. The guy's running for his life. You know, you might as well change pitchers. I don't have a problem with that. And I don't even think changing quarterbacks down the stretch is going to make that much of a difference. I think it sucks for Hudson Card because I think he's probably lost his job because if you're KC Thompson, you're set up to succeed. It's all going to look good now.
Certainly the next two.
Yeah. I mean, I think the rest of the way, there's no defense in the league. It's a perfect league for him. It's a perfect league for Hudson Card. Unfortunately, Hudson Card got the start in the bad matchup, the physical matchup that they're going to lose.
I think TCU and Oklahoma are going to push back a little.
Okay. It'll be 56 to 58-2.
For the Big 12, they'll have defense.
Yeah. I'm just saying that, look, I think both those guys are good players. We could not brag enough about Hudson Card in game one. They did not get crushed this past Saturday because of him. So I don't have a problem with making the decision to change on the fly. I don't know that I agree that Hudson Card has now lost his job over that. I think that's pretty dramatic and pretty harsh. That said, I think KC Thompson's a good player. I don't think had KC Thompson taken the first snap of that game, I don't think the score would have looked any different. And I think Steve Sarkisian knows that.
Considering that Coach Sark had already said KC Thompson would play, would you have thought about doing it sooner in the game against Arkansas? 13-0, 16-0, 16-7. Would you have taken a different opportunity when the game was closer and said, you know what, let's give Hudson a chance to breathe and watch, and then let's see what Casey can do?
Probably not, and I say not, and I don't think it would have mattered much. I really don't. I mean, I think it's easy to go into that game for garbage time and garbage points. The damage had been done. You know, the only difference is you could say, well, at least he can run for his life better than Hudson Card. Okay. I mean, if that's the way you're going to play football, just go run around and look out. You know, the funny thing about this is, of all the quarterback controversies, I think this one is needless. I don't think this needs to be happening. But then again, I think Steve Sarkisian's got cover. I think both those guys are pretty good players. I think they're both pretty good players in the Big 12, and I think they're both set up for success in the Big 12. So I think he's going to end up looking fine on the decision. I do. I think KC Thompson will be fine. If you told me Hudson Card was playing against Rice, I'd say he'd light them up too. So I don't think that's their problem. I don't think it's that big of a deal. I think it's just window dressing and distraction from the real issue, which is the real game, and that never changes. You've got to play good defense in the front seven, and you've got to be able to pass protect, and they're not very good at either.
That's true.
I mean, just the fact.
So hopefully deck chairs on what's not the Titanic.
Yeah, that's well said. Yeah. That was, wow. Let's steal that line.
Any profound observations from week one of the NFL, other than the Cowboys being a work of art?
You know,
some
betting,
find prettier than ugly.
Legal betting on the NFL is up 126%.
Isn't that crazy?
Isn't that beautiful? What a country.
Can't you go in? Do they have like kiosks in that new Raiders stadium?
Yeah,
Can I literally go in there and bet at halftime and pregame?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's awesome.
I've been in that stadium, and it's a $2 billion stadium in a city that probably lost almost 100,000 jobs this past year. I mean, it's been a blast. I mean, the NFL is made for TV. It does everything right. The Chiefs-Browns game was off the charts. Last night game was off the charts. The Cowboys-Bucks game was off the charts. It's the usual perfect entertainment value that the NFL provides. That said, the Cowboys, I'm blown away how this is what an art form pro football has become. Oh my gosh, look at us, Cowboys fans. Oh, we played so well. You lost when the other team turned it over four times.
Yeah.
You did something. They had a number that's never been met. No team has ever lost against a team that turned it over four times, and you had 450 yards in offense. It's funny how people spin that in a positive. I think that's a horrible thing.
No, it's terrible.
It's a horrible thing. Yeah, exactly what happened to them last year.
Yeah, when you combine certain stats, it's only happened like three other times in the existence of the league.
Right.
Right. You don't want to be that.
And people go, well, yes, Dak Prescott was outstanding. There's no argument there. And you know what? Last year, the first four games, he was great then too. And they had to kick an onside kick to beat the Falcons.
They should have been 0-4, yeah.
I mean, the Buccaneers probably couldn't play any worse than they did, and they got a W. So, I knew Dak Prescott was good. I think everybody else knew that Dak Prescott was good. The bottom line is it's a bottom line business, man, and their bottom line is not good. I don't know why Cowboys fans are so giddy about that performance. You lost when you should have won.
Yeah, that was my feeling by the end of the game is they should that w- if you can't take advantage
you
of
can't
that
win
opportunity,
that game,
I don't know what to tell you.
I don't know what to tell you either. I don't care if Tom Brady is on the other side. He's not the one necessarily that turned it over four times. They did everything wrong. They went right for Dallas, and Dallas still lost.
Yep. All those little details, man. They never get them.
Bottom line world, it's a bottom line business. And the easiest way to win in football? Play defense and kick it. That's the easiest way. It never changes.
Yeah.
Scoring 55 is hard. Passing for 500 yards is really, really hard to do regularly.
Yeah.
Playing good defense and kicking it through the uprights, and you win most of the time.
Well, we haven't asked Jeff Ward about the 58 yet. Would you have Dak Prescott throw the ball 58 times a game? Does that seem like a good idea to you?
I guess if Ezekiel Elliott's disappeared, maybe I have no choice. What happened to him? What is he now? What is he? What
was a shell of himself.
Isn't that amazing? Yeah. I mean, he's not damaged goods. How did this happen?
Nah, I'm going to put some of that on Kellen Moore, man. You got to give it a shot. You need to let Ezekiel Elliott prove he's washed up.
Yeah. Especially because he looks like he's in such good shape this year versus the last 2 years.
I'll accept that. Yes. Now, you look, in the NFL, you shouldn't be throwing it 58 times, period, unless you're in trying to catch up. You really shouldn't. That's not a good recipe.
That's a close game throughout.
Yeah. No, it's a bad recipe. And it's a bad recipe when you look on the other side of the field and think, that guy. And give him the ball.
Right.
You're going to lose.
Minute 24.
Wouldn't it be interesting?
So much
I was thinking
time.
About this. I know.
God.
I was thinking about this during the game. I thought, you know, it would be really cool. The NFL is pretty proactive. I wish they could come up with a way to, like, you could do, like, this little test. And if you were to ask everybody in the Cowboys sideline and in the owner's box right now, while he's jogging out there, do you think you're going to win?
Your next
it's
paycheck.
It's 124. Do you think you're going to win right now?
Next paycheck.
What percentage do you think would say yes?
If you really made
it. Yeah, I mean, you had to put something. You don't have to do the charts. Like, you have a 10% chance to win, and the chart goes up and down.
Yeah.
I want to see the chart of the entire franchise. I mean, from trainers to owners to defensive coordinators, what percentage of people thought they were going to win?
It's the Cowboys, so I'm going to take my reasonable 5% and kick it up to like 20. Because the Cowboys are a delusional group on every level, so I'll say 20%.
Yeah.
Two out of every 10 would have told you, we're still going to win.
Okay, that's fine. I think one of them might be really old, too.
Our defense will hold them, Jeff.
So that means approximately 80% of the defenders that had to watch him chuck out on the field thought they were going to lose and knew they were going to lose.
That's what I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Yes.
You think there might be one dude over there. He's a rookie dude. Like, oh, I'll get him. The other guy's looking at him going, no, man, we're losing.
I'm going to go sack Tom Brady.
We're about to lose.
No, you're not. You're not going to go sack Tom Brady.
You chase him. Go ahead. Try to get him. We're going to lose.
God, it was just crazily impressive. And then to go and burn those plays at the end, just throwing the ball out of bounds.
Like
kicker, come
on. You know, it's almost like turning a double play when there's nobody on base. Just, I feel like doing it right now. Right?
He did look rather bored at the end of that
game.
Come
on, man. Don't you guys have anything more for me than this? I had to get down here this fast.
Talk about business
as usual. What if they give him like an extra 40? Tom, you got to go to the other end now.
Ah, that is a challenge.
He would take it. All right, cool. I go that other end and do it again. You do it.
You have to do it with your left arm, Tom. All right, sure. That's fine.
It's a blast, though. The NFL is going to give gamblers and fantasy players everything it wants. That game is beautifully made for TV.
Yep, it always produces. That is Jeff Ward. Check out jeffwardshow.com, at Jeff Ward Show on Twitter. You get that live each weekday, and you're getting 6 minutes of football all over the place now. Check that out as well. Cowboys and Longhorns, and frighteningly enough, it's kind of the same thing. I agree with you on that.
Yeah, right? I mean, isn't it? I mean, the discussion kind of morphs into the same thing. It really is just art. I mean, fans are just into the art, and then you realize, you lost.
Style and substance.
Yeah.
It's a big discussion. And I think there's artwork at Jerry World. I'm not sure about that. But watch the next home game. I'm sure they'll show it to you on the broadcast.
Oh, inside the stadium.
My God, I'm so sick of watching Cowboys home games.
You know, Jerry's wife curated all this artwork.
Yeah. Come back from breaks. Cowboys are down 14. Yeah. Already turned the ball over a couple times. Yeah, let's not worry about all that. Let's just show everybody the artwork in the stadium.
I think it's trying to avoid tax laws there. I think it's some kind of tax write-off probably.
Is that what it is?
Probably some farm animals down there, too, to get the write-off that way also.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Always good to see you, sir.
Yes, sir.
Jeff Ward back on come see us next Tuesday, hopefully talking about a Texas win over Rice, and if we're not talking about that, there'll really be a whole other issue going on.
That's an easy conversation.
Yeah, speaking of that NFL. Up next, we'll talk about week one. It ended last night with a bit of a surprising result. We'll take a look ahead at some of those week two matchups, and we'll keep talking Longhorns. Longhorn fans, have your expectations changed after what you saw in Fayetteville? Coming up on The Horn.
Shirts and Skins.
Trey's got some music, connected it back to a podcast. This kind of had a little Mellencamp vibe to it. Am I right there?
Good call. It is Mellencamp. The song is called Between a Laugh and a Tear. I'm playing it because it is another Shameless Podcast Promotion Tuesday. New episode of Books on Pod out as of this morning. It's the latest in our Docs on Pod series with Nick Scown. He is the co-director of a new documentary presented by Vice called Too Soon. Comedy after 9/11. How did the September 11th attacks affect comedy in America? And which comedians and what jokes helped the country rebound in the weeks, months, and years that followed? You can find out by listening to our chat at booksonpod.com.
Good coverage of the Gilbert Gottfried moment in that podcast.
Yes, indeed.
In that documentary, one of the iconic moments that came out of the 9/11 situation. But there are multiple things I'd forgotten about, just the way the path ran on a lot of different things. They do a good job in that documentary of covering everything. Speaking of music, hearing a little Mellencamp there, more tragedy for the Rolling Stones. I want Trey to give me some of the details of the story. I just heard the headline. It's horrifying. We'll get into that and where are we at in society, but that band is just going through a lot of craziness right now. But we also are talking lots of football, and we have your chance to win a couple chances to win Texas tickets. Here's how we do that. Rod and Kevin are going to be out at HEB, South Congress, and Slaughter today. Get on out there for your chance to win a pair of the Coors Light Silver Bullet seats to the Texas Tech game. But also this week, we've got your chance from Randall's to get that virtual ticket window open for this week's game. And that ticket window is going to open on Thursday. So you're going to want to be listening to RBKD on Thursday. You listen for the keyword sounder. You'll text in for your chance to win there. And you will text in on a special number. You'll text keyword to 512-451-5650. 653, and you're automatically entered to win those tickets. But again, you do that on Thursday. It's not our normal text line, so be paying attention for that. Details at hornfm.com. That's courtesy of Randall's. So your chance to win tickets to the Rice game, to the Texas Tech game, they are out there. Go to hornfm.com for more information. All right, so we were just talking, started with Longhorns, then we ended up talking Cowboys with Jeff Ward of the Jeff Ward Show, and bringing up some really good points there, Trey. These two teams, there's a lot of similarities there, and the style-substance debate, I think, is always relevant with these two organizations. Each of them wakes up with tons of style. Tons of it. Style, history, branding, all of that. But when they don't have substance, I think they can feel even more hollow than other teams without substance, if that makes any sense. Because when you stack it up with that much clout on top, and you've got that blue blood status, and you're the Cowboys, you're the Longhorns, we could throw in Notre Dame or the Yankees or whatever. When you're one of those and you don't have substance, I think it stands out more than when the others don't.
Oh, it definitely does, especially when Jerry is giving quotes like he did a couple years ago. May have been when he was on the verge of getting into the Hall, where he was asked if he would rather have the gold jacket or another Super Bowl ring, and he says the gold jacket.
Mm.
What are you doing, Jerry? Are you not in this for competitive purposes? I mean, were the three Super Bowls you won in the 1990s enough? I would assume not, because he still takes such a proactive role within that organization. But yeah, when the Cowboys aren't very good, which they have not been for a while now, going as long as they have without a championship game appearance, NFC championship game appearance, much less Super Bowl appearance, that's a problem. And it's a problem for football. Even as football's ratings continue to improve, the NFL is better off when the Cowboys are good. And the league has not been able to say that for a while now.
Yeah, that's true. It is better.
With any sort of consistency, you've had the one-offs every occasional year, but on a year-to-year basis, Dallas has been right around, a little bit above, a little bit below 500.
Yeah, I believe I've kept track of since the moment they walked off the field against the Steelers, and I believe that total number is still just barely over 500. I mean, every game played.
Right.
Just barely over 500. We'll continue to talk football. We'll get back into the NFL here. Wow, sad news to report out of the entertainment world.
Uh-oh.
I just saw that thanks to Chris Bennett for texting it in. SNL legend and comedian Norm MacDonald has died. Norm was in a long and private battle with cancer. He was 61 years old. Rest in peace to Norm MacDonald. That is so sad.
That's a bummer.
I know, yeah, oh man, both of us, I know, are fans of his. I saw him live. I saw him at the Cap City years ago.
Seen him live a couple of times. He is my favorite SNL news anchor of all time.
He's definitely in that group for me. He's in that Mount Rushmore if I had to make one up for the Weekend Update guys.
I actually got to interview him one time. Gosh, this was like, we ended up playing it on the show that I produced. I wasn't even a host at the time. I just set up the Norm MacDonald interview, and the hosts that I was working for were indifferent on it. I'm like, screw you guys. Let me do the interview,
and you can play it.
It'll be a good conversation. It was for that Comedy Central sports show that he was doing at the time. Ah, man, that's a bummer to hear.
That really is.
Norm was a legend of dry wit.
Yes, yeah.
We may have to play his ESPY monologue before the end of today's show.
Actually,
as a matter of fact, I'm sorry. We're going to have to delay the Rolling Stones story for a day. I'm going to play the Norm ESPY's monologue. It is one of the greatest award show monologues of all time.
That is a good one.
And we will be playing it in his honor coming up here in a few minutes.
All right, let's do that. Rest in peace to the great Norm MacDonald. Man, that is terrible. We're getting your thoughts today on the text line. Specs text line 337-3776. If you're a Longhorn fan, have your expectations changed at all? Haven't seen a lot from the Aggie side of things. I threw the Aggies in there too. Did your expectations change after the quarterback situation? Not a lot of response there, but definitely some response.
You and I will talk more about that coming up at the top of the hour, because I think there is a conversation to be had. If one fan base should still feel a little bit better about their situation, I'm not sure which fan base that should be at this point.
I know. That's where I'm not I'm not exactly sure. So, yeah, if you wear burnt orange or you wear maroon, I do think you need to be resetting this week for different reasons. We'll get to that at 2 o'clock. Week one of the NFL did end last night with a wild, crazy one. Man, how about the first week for the NFL with the Thursday night affair ending like that? The Sunday night game was the Rams controlling it, so it's not exactly the greatest game we've ever seen. We'll get you that. But then you got that Cleveland-Kansas City game doing what it did. And then you come back around to last night with an overtime affair, 33-27. Raiders get the win. Like we talked about earlier, I think there's some questions each team needs to ask itself about, is this the way you want to do business? But, Trey, how will the fight that the Baltimore Ravens are going to try to show here will be fascinating to watch. I just hope they don't hurt Lamar Jackson while doing it, because I don't know who their running backs are, and I don't know if they can consistently get after it. But
Tyson Williams looked decent last night. I don't understand why they didn't give him the ball more. Latavius Murray, too.
7.2 yards a carry for Tyson Williams.
Yes.
You got to trust that. I do love that they still ran 34 times. I do. They ran more than they threw, and that was good. For the Raiders' side of it, 56 throws for Carr and 10 carries for Jacobs, I do not get. You can tell me, well, Chad, Jacobs had 3.4 a carry, and he's facing the Ravens. I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
If that's your guy, that's your guy. And right. I like some of the – that's a big win for the Raiders. Things can get overblown in the NFL. I get it. One win can be blown up way too much, but watching a game like that – don't tell me that individual games in an NFL regular season don't matter.
Mm-hmm.
That was a big deal for the Raiders last night. And it was a punch to the gut for the Ravens.
Yeah, because they had the game in hand.
Yeah, they had the game in hand.
They blew it.
And Patrick Mahomes is coming to see him this week.
Yeah, I mean, they are staring down an 0-2 start, which has been well documented on this radio station, is an extremely difficult hole to climb out of.
Tough to get out of. 88% of the time, you don't make the playoffs if you go 0-2. At least that's what the old numbers said. We'll see what these new numbers say with even more games and even more playoff teams.
That extra playoff spot does help.
Yeah, it does. It definitely does. Anything else real quick, Trey, coming out of week one of the NFL that we need to hit before we get to this Norm thing?
Yeah, it's surprising what happened with the AFC South this weekend, with the Texans now on top, one win in that division, or the one team in that division with a win, with Jacksonville, who's obviously not going to be very good, but more importantly, the Titans and Colts losing and really getting dominated during their losses. The Titans, of course, by the Arizona Cardinals, and people expected Seattle to be good. I mean, they manhandled Indianapolis on Sunday.
And I hate to keep bringing this up because I know Tannehill has gotten himself into a more consistent spot. But both of those guys, Wentz and Tannehill, strike me as the guy that you can be the franchise's guy. But that doesn't make you elite. Mm-hmm. That doesn't make you best of the best. And I just wonder if they're in just kind of a mess of quarterbacks, kind of in the middle of this league. I don't know if they're going to make the difference.
And then speaking of Seattle, Arizona, and everybody else out west, how about both the AFC and NFC West being undefeated right now?
8-0 combined in week one?
Yeah.
We talked about those divisions as being that strong. Well, certainly the NFC being that strong. I didn't realize the AFC West could do that in week one, because you were going to have the Raiders pull that off and Denver. And so those two you didn't quite know about, but then for all four of them to win, Cowboys, I think the Cowboys have to play the whole division. I think they're going to play everybody, don't they? It's not just the Chargers. So those divisions are really tough to deal with. Seattle just business-like in doing what they did against the Colts. This just in, Russell Wilson can still throw deep balls more accurately than anybody I've ever seen. And what's his name? Lockett is making every catch in the world, and that defense is pretty damn good, and they controlled Indy pretty much throughout. All right, week one of the NFL is done. It will crank up Thursday night with an NFC East matchup. What do you do, Cowboys fans, when the Giants go to Washington? They're both 0-1. Somebody's going 0-2. That's certainly good news. Up next, where are we at in society? Little bit of a switch with this terrible news in the world of comedy. Norm MacDonald, dead at the age of 61 after a long battle with cancer. Trey's going to play that famous moment from the ESPYs a few years ago to pay tribute to Norm. Coming up in Where Are We At in Society. Don't move. It's the Horn.
Shirts and Skins.
All right, Chad, we're coming back dry from this commercial break. I'll be honest, I am not in the mood to play much music right now. I'm bummed out
man.
About a comedian who died after A fight with cancer. The fight with cancer was unknown. Kudos to Norm for keeping that private. But Norm MacDonald is dead, and I'm bummed out about that. My guess is it may have been something along the lines of lung cancer. I know that he was a pretty heavy smoker. Regardless of the cause of death, this is a sad day for the world of comedy.
Yeah, a guy here in the office, Haven from over at Coke FM, he's a massive Norm MacDonald fan. He says he's his favorite comedian of all time, and he read up on it. 9 years. 9 years he's been battling cancer. Nobody knew it.
Wow.
They kept it secret for that long. All right, so we've got a special Where Are We At in Society. You want to throw the voice
Where
on
Are We At in Society today?
Yep, in honor of Norm MacDonald, who has maybe the greatest deadpan delivery of all time, I need to play you people what may be the greatest award show monologue of all time. It was Norm MacDonald who hosted the 1998 ESPYs. And, man, did he let people have it in his opening monologue. Here we go.
Well, thank you very much. I'm very excited to be here. You know, and I was asked to host the ESPYs this year. Yeah, hi, that's my name, Esman. When I was asked to host the ESPYs this year, folks, I said yes immediately for one reason and one reason only. This show has interns. Proper relations backstage a little later. But man, it's great to be here at the 6th annual ESPY Awards. Hard to believe, huh, that the ESPYs are 6 years old. Although Anthony Mason swears they're 18. So. Yeah, he'll be having sex with the ESPYs in about 12 years. So. I was a little late here tonight. I took a cab to the theater, folks. And I don't know if you've ever been in these New York City cabs, but I got one of those cabbies, couldn't speak English, you know. Saw his name there on the dash. I couldn't even pronounce it. I think it was something like Hideki Arabu. I'm like,
he just showed Ken Griffey Jr. in the crowd. He just looks away.
Arabu's been having some trouble, man. They fired his translator. Steinbrenner fired his translator. And people see that as cruel, you know, but I don't know, you know. I mean, if you're not doing well in Yankee Stadium, you know, do you really need a translator? Do you want that, you know? You know? Hey, what'd they say? They say you suck. You should go back to Japan, you dirty foreigner. Okay, I got it. I'm trying to pitch over here. It's great to be here on ESPN. I love sports, man. I got, man, you can see sports on ESPN you don't see on other networks. You know, like kickboxing, that's my favorite sport. Kickboxing is great. When you think about it, it combines the style and grace of boxing with kicking. It just seems kind of immature. Just backstage, a lot of celebrities back there, man. I was talking to Jerry Jones, you know, the Cowboys owner, and he's disappointed, obviously. Yeah. Well, he's a good guy, though, man. He's talking about rebuilding the team, you know. And he told me, he says, we have to get back to what made us a championship team. Strippers and crack. Hey, have you heard about this? Ted Turner and NBC plan to start their own rival football league to compete with the NFL. And not much known about the specifics of this new league, except for this, it will suck. They know that. So they might have trouble, you know, getting advertisers when we know it will suck. And of course, congratulations to the Denver Broncos for winning the Super Bowl. How about that? Denver did great, you know. There he is. I love the Denver fans, you know, because for one thing, they don't wear food on their heads. That's nice. And they had a wild celebration in Denver after that Super Bowl, man. And now city officials expect an even wilder celebration if the Nuggets win 10 games this year. They say they're going to say the whole city's going to go nuts.
Yeah, the Nuggets are having a bad year this year, man. Matter of fact, they're making a film about the team. They got a pretty catchy title. It's Black Men Can't Jump Either. Well, NBA All-Star Weekend over. That was exciting, man. The East beat the West. Jeff Hornacek won the three-point shootout. Houston's Clyde Drexler and Cynthia Cooper won that exciting two-ball thing. And Charles Barkley won the throw a guy through a plate glass window contest. So that was... that was quite a game, you know. I mean, you know who impressed me the most yesterday was Kobe Bryant. Unbelievable. Guy's amazing. 19 years old, the youngest starter ever in the All-Star game, and he played so well that today he was named spokesman for NBC's new public service campaign called Screw It, Who Needs College? Of course, the biggest story in basketball, no question about it, Michael Jordan may retire. Michael Jordan may retire after this season, and it's terrible news for Bull fans, you know, but it is terrific news for golf hustlers. They're happy about it. But Jordan is very serious, though, about leaving. In fact, he's already called the Hall of Fame to make sure that his plaque bears his basketball nickname, Air Jordan, and not his baseball nickname, Senior Crappy. That would just be disrespectful, you know? Well, how about them Winter Olympics? They're finally underway, so we've got a lot of great stuff to look forward to in the next 2 weeks, like hockey and, well, just hockey, really. I was watching last night, I saw speed skating, and my goodness, you know, could the outfits they wear be any tighter? Holy Lord. There was an East German woman, I swear, you could see the outline of her. It was crazy. Oh, my goodness. Well, there's all kinds of sports celebrities in the audience tonight. I see Tiger Woods right there. Tiger Woods, how about that, huh? He's up for golf, of course. He's up for golfer of the year, this ESPYs. And you know who I feel sorry for, folks, is the other two guys nominated for golfer of the year. You see these guys getting ready, you know, it's like, hey, honey, have you seen my tuxedo? No, not the good one. The one I wear when I'm going to get my ass kicked. Have you seen that one? Boomer Esiason is with us. Boomer. How you doing, brother? Boomer, of course, will replace Frank Gifford on Monday Night Football next season. And Frank told reporters that this will allow him to spend more time with his wife and children. Then he broke down and cried for 45 minutes. So. Charles Woodson. How about that? And what a season he had. Great, man. He became the first defensive player to win the Heisman Trophy. And congratulations, Charles. That is something that no one can ever take away from you. Unless you kill your wife and a waiter, in which case...
Oh, man. Norm MacDonald. R.I.P. 61 years old. He died today.
I was sitting here thinking, please tell me that was it. Like, please tell me that was, if that was the next to last joke. What was the last joke? That was fantastic.
That was the last joke.
Yeah, that's well done. Well done, Norm MacDonald. Man, so sad to hear that he died today. A 9-year battle, a secret battle, apparently, with cancer. and Norm MacDonald, dead at the age of 61 today. That was the moment from the 98 ESPYs. The great thing about somebody like Norm MacDonald passing away, there's not a great, it's not great, but obviously the memories are left behind, man. There's so much SNL stuff out there. His time at Weekend Update, I was talking about it with our guy Haven, who's a big fan, Trey, of the single guys that did Weekend Update. Because there's some duos I could bring up that I really liked. I think he and Dennis Miller might be my favorite single guys that did it.
Yeah, those are my two favorites also.
Hard to pull that off by yourself. I like the dual idea. I like the two-person group there, you know, what Faye and Poehler did. I like the two guys now. I know some people don't, but it's got to be that, all the way back to Jane Curtin and Dan Aykroyd. But by themselves is tough, and Norm was so good, man. I look forward to that every single week. I was waiting to hear what it was going to be. He got to play off of so much talent, too, because he's there during, I mean, that's Sandler, Farley, Phil Hartman. That's those guys.
Yeah, but Norm was the reason why I was tuning into the Weekend Update.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you definitely had some of the secondary characters popping on with him from time to time, but you know, it was the Frank Stallone jokes, the OJ jokes, the David Hasselhoff jokes, and everything in between.
Yeah, my favorite Norm MacDonald line was still always, "or so the Germans would have us believe." I always enjoyed that one.
Yeah.
Rest in peace to the great Norm MacDonald. All right, coming up, your 2 o'clock hour. Longhorn and Aggie fans, we have a question for you today. Have the expectations changed? Very different discussions for those two teams, but I would think expectations probably change for either one of you, whether you're wearing burnt orange or whether you're wearing maroon. We'll talk a little House Divided after game number 2 next on the Horn.